In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So we had the same gospel last Sunday from the Gospel of St. Luke, and today it's from the Gospel of St. Matthew. It's an important message that our Lord Jesus Christ is sending to us, and that's why the Church in her wisdom has put it to us back to back in the first and second Sundays of the month of Hatur. This particular parable is considered probably Christ's first one among the 30, around 30 that he told. This is probably one of the first ones, if not the first. And it's among the best known. I mean, everybody knows the parable of the prodigal son, for example, but everybody also knows the parable of the sower and the seeds. And the Lord himself, in another place, because of its important message, explained the parable. And of course, there are many interpretations out there. Many contemporary commentators in every generation who've developed this parable and its meaning and its applicability. But we don't depend much on their interpretation because we have a wealth of commentary given to us by the writings of the Holy Fathers of the Church, who are individuals who are God-given insight into the meaning of the Holy Scriptures. I'm going to focus on St. Cyril's commentary on this particular parable. He starts by saying, the first set of seeds, they fell by the wayside. And I quote him, he says, no sacred or divine word will be able to enter those who have minds that are hard and unyielding, just like the wayside. For it is by the end of such words that the joyful fruit of virtue can grow. Men of this kind, he says, are highways that are trodden by unclean spirits and by Satan himself, and they shall never be producers of holy fruit because their hearts are sterile and unfruitful. Their hearts are empty. These are the ones who pay no heed to Christian instruction, or to the commandments of God, or to the admonition of Christ himself. These are the ones who are far removed from God. They're on the beaten or the trodden path. These are the ones who live in darkness and choose to stay there. These are the ones who do not accept the word of God. These are the ones who hear, because everybody hears, but they don't obey. They choose not to obey. These are the ones whose hearts are made of hardness. They dismiss God. They allow Satan to snatch the word from them in a heartbeat. These are the ones who refuse repentance. These are the ones who refuse the spiritual guidance of their father of confession. These are the ones who refuse to struggle in their spiritual life. They want easy street. They don't understand that Christianity is a way of life that requires discipline and ascetic struggle. These are the ones who are stubborn, and they rely solely on their own minds. These are the ones who do not try to understand the will of God for them and their lives. So St. Cyril comments about this first set of soil, which is hard, which is on the wayside. And then he begins to comment on the seeds that fell on the rocky ground. And I quote, he says, a religion without roots. When this kind of person goes out of the church, he immediately forgets the holy teachings that he has heard. And as long as Christians are left in peace, he keeps the faith, just barely. But as soon as persecution arises, he will be ready to take flight in search of safety. Any kind of tribulation or turbulence that hits him, he bolts. These are the ones who enter the church and maybe feel pleasure after seeing that the church is packed, so many assembled in the house of God, and that pleases them. And maybe they appear to joyfully receive instruction from the church. And these are the ones who are quick to praise the priest, or quick to praise the bishop, or quick to praise the Sunday school teacher. But when they leave the church, because there is no root, they forget the sacred doctrine and they proceed in their usual course, not having stored within themselves any spiritual matter for future benefit. If their affairs go on peacefully, if things are smooth for them, they barely maintain the faith. They'll hold on to the faith. But if trouble arises, what happens? They lose themselves completely. They fall apart because there's no roots. These are the ones who can be like chameleons. They can adapt and succumb to the environment that they're in very easily. These are the ones who Monday through Friday, they might find temptation in the world and stress at work, and they become far from a Christ-centered person that we struggle to become at all times. These are the ones who, they could be playing a sport, and there's nothing wrong with playing sports, but they find themselves that the rest of the team is cussing up a storm and they'll just follow suit. There's no roots. These are the ones that might form unhealthy and impure premature relationships in their teen years, for example. These are the ones who can easily be deceitful, and they can cheat and they lie, and they want to make a better image of themselves in front of the people because they don't concern themselves about God's image of them. They concern themselves about what men say. So these are the seeds that fell amongst rocky ground. And then St. Cyril comments on the seeds that fell among the thorns. And he exhorts us not to allow the cares of the world to choke the tender shoots of faith and commitment. Don't allow the thorns to choke the shoots of faith and commitment. These are the ones who want to follow God, but they also want to enjoy the pleasures of the world. They want to have both ways. These are the ones who delight in materialistic possessions. They wallow in it. They focus on it. They want grander things. St. Paul reminds us in 1 Timothy, "For we brought nothing into this world, nor can we take anything out." And in Proverbs chapter 10, "Treasures profit not the wicked." St. Cyril of Alexandria continues and he says, "Wealth immerses us in the basest wickedness, the most elaborate banquets, the delights of gluttony, and carefully prepared sauces, music and drunkenness, and the pitfalls of wantonness, pleasures and sensuality, and pride hateful to God." So those that focus on wealth and the cares of the world fall into this type of lifestyle that St. Cyril is describing. Remember, St. John in his first epistle reminds us, "Everything that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of the world, and the world passes away and its lust, but he that does the will of God abides forever." And then finally, of course, some of the seeds fell on what? On good ground, right? And these are the ones that bore fruit, 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold, according to St. Matthew. These are the ones who hear the word of God, and what? They keep it. They enforce it. They live it. They breathe it. They eat and drink it. They not only receive the word, but they practice it in their lives. So number one, they don't allow Satan to steal the word from them. Number two, they don't allow tribulation to stir them up and separate them from the love of God. And number three, they don't attach themselves to the cares of the world, but they attach themselves to eternity, to salvation. Now some might ask a question. Why would the sower sow seeds where he knew it would not produce fruit? Along the wayside, on rocky ground, amongst thorns. Why would he even waste his time? St. John Chrysostom comments on this question. He answers it for us. He says, "For as the sower makes no distinction in the land submitted to him, but simply and indifferently he casts his seed, so the Lord himself makes no distinction between the rich and the poor, between the wise and the unwise, between the slothful and the diligent, between the brave and the cowardly, but he discourses unto all." Does that make sense? That our Lord Jesus Christ reaches out to all indiscriminately. St. John Chrysostom continues and he says, "It's not possible for the rock not to be rock." He says, "It's not possible for the wayside not to be the wayside. It's not possible for the thorns not to be thorns. But when it comes to the creatures of God being us, rationally or reason endowed creatures, humankind, that's not the case. Because in us, it is possible for the rock to change and become rich, fertile land. It is possible for the wayside to no longer be trodden or lie open to all that pass by so that it can become fertile ground. It is possible for the thorns to be plucked out and to be destroyed so that the seed may enjoy full security. It is possible for the heart of the man to change. Because, he says, for had it been impossible, the sower would not have sown at all." So keep that in mind, that any human being can make a conversion, can make a transformation. It doesn't matter what kind of heart one has today, but the question is, are you willing to transform it, to change it to something more fertile, so that you can receive the Word of God and do what with it? Enforce it. Enforce it. Even if our hearts are comprised of the most solid, compacted rock, God can change it into fertile soil if we allow him. So we must ask him, and we must not resist the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we must enjoy fellowship with him and commune with him. We must be able to struggle a little and follow his commandments and become citizens of his kingdom. That's the parable of the sower and the seeds in the nutshell, which the church has found to be so essential in the lives of Christian believers and unbelievers. And that's why the church has chosen to read it for us in the first two Sundays of the Coptic month of Hathor. Hathor is the third month of the year. So that we can sit with the message, mull it over, consider it, pray about it, and hopefully begin to make a transformation. It all starts with a repentance. How many times have we talked about repentance being a springboard back to the kingdom of heaven? It starts with giving a good confession, and then you'll find your heart being moist again and being able to receive the good seeds sowed by God to the glory of his holy name. And glory be to God forever. Amen.